is the promised one. The promised one. And we will take that from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 14. Very familiar passage. My wife and myself, we were watching the Charlie Brown Christmas. I hate to admit that, but we were watching the Charlie Brown Christmas, and somebody was asking, what is Christmas really about? And his character named Linus, right? Linus comes up, and he actually gives a rendition out of Luke chapter 2. And that's unusual in today's television for the Bible to be openly read on the television. That's amazing. So I thought that was interesting. So I did admit I watched that, Ernest, so you can strike that from the record. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you would stand. I'm sorry, but I got y'all standing up and down. Okay. Doing a little bit of aerobics. If you can stand, stand. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the end. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." The promised one. The promised one. Just a little background. Caesar Augustus was the son of Julius Caesar. And he thought he was a big shot. He thought he was a big shot. He was the head of the then most powerful nation that was ruling all of the world, so says the scripture. And I think that's interesting because the Bible kind of emphasizes Caesar Augustus. And I believe the reason it emphasizes Caesar Augustus is to show that God has control over all situations and all people. I don't care how big and how large you think you are. Did you hear what I said? How large you think you are. Because standing before a God who has called all the stars by name, how in the world could you measure up against him? So then it says, Caesar Augustus, and he calls for a registration tax. We need more money. Maybe my palace needs to be redone. Maybe we need to do some more infrastructure work, but we need to call for a registration. And the way I'm going to get more money is kind of like we do today. Let's raise the taxes. I don't want to say that too loud. Let's raise the taxes. And interestingly enough, we get to see the sovereignty of God, because he's doing kind of a free will thing now. This is what I need, so this is what I'm going to do. But the sovereignty of God is now moving in all that big stuff. He's moving to people someplace where he wants them to be. So listen, that gives you confidence. He's working on your behalf right now. He'll move heaven and earth to get you where you need to be. No matter how many Julius Caesars or his sons reign, he's going to get you where you need to be. Don't be afraid. No matter what your situation is, don't be afraid. God is working all things together for what? The good. For those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. They went to register. And the Bible says that he needs to be born in Bethlehem. Interesting. Move heaven and earth to bring his word to pass. Move heaven and earth to bring his word to pass. He bring them out by Caesar Augusta. They leave Nazareth. And it's been said about Nazareth, what good thing can really come from Nazareth? She was pregnant when she left Nazareth. So what good thing can come out of, listen, a quick parallel. I was not the best guy. And nobody really kind of thought I'd do anything in life. Maybe they're right, I don't know. But it was said, what good thing can really come out of this boy? It's amazing what God can do with outcasts. Did you hear what I said? No matter what they said about you, no matter what they think about you, it's amazing what he can do with outcasts. That's his specialty. Because when he gets the outcast and he gets them going, it has to be the power of God working in him. Because, of course, they said he wasn't going to be nothing. Listen. And it says that he needed to be up. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I'm sorry, Genesis 3:15. I'm sorry. Blue. Genesis 3:15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Brother Lee, I want you to read the English Standard Version. And I'll stand by you here. I'm sorry, Dion, I didn't get you yet. Okay.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Thank you. This is a, the context is, man has fallen. It looked dark. The clouds didn't come. They rolled in. It looked like it's it for the home team. But in that, God gives a really a glimpse into the gospel. Did you hear what I said? It says seed singular. That's the seed of the woman singular. And then it gives us the seed singular of the serpent two. That don't mean many. That means a singular federal head fight. Now, in this fight, now you're going to bite me on the heel if you're the seed of the serpent, which is not a deadly strike, because if you bite me on the heel, I got time to get some help. But check out, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bruise your head, which is a fatal shot. He immediately prophesies, I will be victorious. The gospel in the Old Testament right away. It's something about God. When it's the darkest hours, he gives me the greatest hope. I don't know about you all, but I need some help when I'm in trouble. And God, as he usually does, he fixes it up for me. Listen, he said it had to come from a specific line. I was talking to the pastor this morning. We were talking about, man, Jesus and how things come from messed up stuff. And I had to look back at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You talking about mess. Them boys was lying about, this ain't my wife. This is my sister. And they were trying to trick and do things all themselves. They wasn't trusting God. But listen, God in the midst of all of that mess. Listen, they call it 42 generations. Of all of that mess, he bring his son through that line and we wind up in Bethlehem. So I don't care what you look like. I don't care what's wrong with you. He has the ability now to bring it to pass. Yes, that's confidence. Yeah. I want you to leave the day with your chest like this. Not because of you, but because of God in you. Yeah. God is able. He's able. Listen. If I had to write a script about how I wanted the world saved, I don't think I'd have did this. You have a pregnant woman in a time when you don't have your car to drive to a place, maybe on a donkey, and she's pregnant. Why didn't she start having her baby sooner than that? Because the power and the sovereignty of God says you have to be born in Bethlehem. Did you all hear what I said? The Bible says when she got to Bethlehem, it was time to have the baby. Surprise, surprise. Listen, you, listen. Jesus said they couldn't touch me because it's not yet my hour. Did you hear what I said? Unless you have finished your work for God, nobody can put their hands on you. Sickness, nobody can put their hands on you. Okay. I promise I was going to sit down, Pastor. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, okay. Go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Deanna, read the English Standard Version for me. Please.
Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from of ancient days.
Amen. Thank you. Bethlehem was too small to actually do anything with the... They couldn't mount 1,000 soldiers to actually send to battle. So they just figured, y'all just too small. You're just nothing. You're just too small. And then God says, out of you, I'm going to bring a ruler that's going to be on the throne forever. Out of you, I'm going to bring a ruler. So if you think you're small and insignificant, God got a plan for you. Listen. If, again, my plan, if I was to announce a coming of a savior of mine, I would have went to a palace and said, "Hey, king, get down there. I need some publicity. I want you to go down there and I want you to see who is going to save the world." But why in the world did God get shepherds? The first one on the pipeline was shepherds. And they were not really esteemed very highly in Israel. To be a shepherd was kind of a low-grade job. But again, God shows that whomever you despise, I raise up. He sends, he shows you just what he think of, because he sends the angel of the Lord to give you the news. And I'm sure they were shook up, because if they like us, you got a lot of sin somewhere. You got some things wrong with you. So when the angel of the Lord show up, you like this here. What's wrong now? Who saw me? But he said, "Don't be afraid. I got good news for you. A Savior is born today for you." So that's why sometimes I don't understand about us. Why don't we get excited and glad? Number one, he's already been born. He's already lived and he's already died. He's raised again and we have power. Why are we not excited more? That's what the Bible says. The shepherds were just doing what they do. They were just doing what they do. Bam! Angel of the Lord. Now, have you ever heard news that was so glorious? I tell you, you just couldn't believe it. You just couldn't believe it. God gives this grand news to these guys. I'm sure they, what? What? That you just couldn't believe it? And then, what he, God is so good, so good, so good. This is what he do. Even if we don't quite grasp it, he says to those shepherds, "Listen, I'm going to give you a sign." And the sign is really to tell you when you go see the sign that what I said was true. Because I gave you forewarning of what was going on. He's gracious. So today, God has fixed up our mess. Listen, who can believe it? The light came into the world, and nobody really wanted to see the light. There were really only a few people that were really there. Excuse me. A few people that were there, really. Simeon and another lady were just waiting on the consolation of Israel. If you read a little further in the text. What about you? Ain't no need to wait no more. Because you've received the news. And the news should have an effect on you. Something that happened back there should still be affecting your life right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, if you're not a Christian today, I would suggest that today is a good day. Today is a good day for you to give your life to the one who saved you, who's able to save you and able to keep you. Amen. Amen. I was actually talking to Brother Lay earlier. Thanks, brother. Come on. Me and my scientists. Y'all pray for me and my scientists. They never give me trouble until I get up to preach. Thanks, brother. Talking to Brother Lay, and we're actually talking about shortness of messages and stuff. I believe he was trying to call me Quicksilver, was what he was trying to call me. But If I can get you to see one principle in the scripture and work out that one principle, you work out that principle, become proficient with that principle, and you will be victorious. I'm not in this thing to get no glory, Pastor, because this ain't a glorious job. I'm sorry. I want you to be better. I want you to go further and farther in Jesus' name. I'm through, Brother Phil. Surprise, surprise.